Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, $4.7 million for Battletech Mercenaries.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter is doing well. And I think the thing that they do really well is they make everything that was previously produced available, so it's just going to keep snowballing.
I mean, right.
Every campaign is just going to get bigger and bigger. Joe Manganiello's, I practice that name a lot,
yep.
Dragonlance. Year Zero licenses released. So we've got the final PDFs for the Year Zero engine licenses and Terminator 2 source book for the Terminator RPG. So we talked about that last year, and it was limited to the first movie and the Dark Horse comics.
Right.
So they negotiated, I guess, for the next movie.
Interesting.
So hopefully they don't go for the third because we don't need that. The female Terminator, the Blood Rain actress as the third Terminator.
I must never have seen that. I've definitely seen Terminator, saw Terminator 2.
She's kind of liquid metal and mechanical morphing.
How the fuck does that work? Anyway, it's a robot from the future. It works because the script says it does. Anyway, okay, sorry.
It's wonderful. Yes, no. So let's get started. So we'll start big and we'll start with Battletech because we neglected talking about it. So this has already been going for more than a week and it's already at $47 million. So
what initial goal?
$50,000.
Okay, yeah.
So they didn't need much. And what they're producing, specifically what that's for, is to produce the next retail box expansion. So this was the original, when they first did their campaigns, the first thing that Catalyst Labs did is this starting box, which was Battletech and Armored Core, a game of Armored Combat, and then a beginner box.
I almost heard Armored Core and was like, that's not right.
Armored Core Combat. Mm-hmm. Of Armored Combat. Yeah, that's the Japanese version.
Yeah.
So the beginner box has been revised, but I think that was done without crowdfunding, just changing the mechs and kind of updating some of the graphics. But this game is still necessary. This base box is still necessary because everything that they're funding now is expansions.
Right. All right.
So this latest expansion is the Mercenaries, and so I think what they're basically doing is just going back to the 80s, the FASA 80s setting, and then just picking out the expansions and remaking them. And the interesting thing about this game is I hear very little people complaining about the updating that Catalyst Labs is doing. You would think with something that had such a following and such a history that, but you changed that the arms are too long or the head.
Model design-wise?
Yeah, because they redesigned all of the mechs. Yeah. So the mechs existed. There was old metal mechs. And then, of course, the fans have been doing 3D. There's tons of STLs out there for Battletech.
You know what? There's even Lego stuff,
right?
From Mobile Frame Zero and Intercept Orbit, like the crossover between that and Battletech is like, here's how to make a whatever, because I'm not in Battletech. I'm like, cool mech, don't know what it's for. Right. Anyway,
So they've redesigned all the mechs as these plastic miniatures on hexes, on hex bases. And I haven't heard complaints. And that's very rare for another company kind of taking over a property and updating it and people being happy with the update. And so correct me in the chat if I'm wrong, if there was initially.
Flood of hate.
Initially people were like, no, it's terrible. But that's a really surprising achievement to take the reins of a game, be re-releasing it and keeping people happy. And I think a big... and Games Workshop helped a lot to make Battletech successful because when they started cease and desisting, they kind of claiming fan animations and just attacking people that were basically doing fan content for Warhammer. People are like, okay, maybe these guys do really suck, and let me look for another world with a huge setting that kind of satisfies that sci-fi that sci-fi war. Aesthetic that you get, but I think basically Battletech doesn't seem to go too heavily into the religious, the iconography and the and religion is less, and it's more like hard sci-fi feeling.
Sure, if you
which
ignore
nice,
the
yeah.
fact you have got giant robots whose ankles would actually crush under the weight of their own thing, right? Okay, anyway,
we don't know the metal that
on Unobtainium, I don't know, right?
Right.
I get what you mean, right?
Yes,
and I can't answer that question because the amount I know about Battletech could fit in the little dent on this box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than its mechs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
this is very interesting. The campaign is just building on what they've already achieved. So the Mercenaries boxes then adds another expansion. So these are, there's going to be more mechs and I guess access to kind of like a different time. You can play in different time periods because there's popular periods where people play. And the thing that you really have to know is what mechs existed, what mechs were available at that time, because it's very strict as, you know, the technology is kind of very strictly limited to these people have these people have these mechs, and you can't just, you know, I like this one, I like one, paint them green. There's a lot more because the, just like with the developing your own, you know, space marine faction for your space marine, you know,
you want to
come up with some interesting, you know, lore, some interesting basis for what they are, what legion they came from. That thing is here too, where you have to kind of pay attention to the history, the fictional history of the setting.
I don't know if I like. Okay, I get that that's some people's jam.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that doesn't float my boat.
Mm.
Right? Like, okay, it is interesting to go, okay, look at all like these different time periods or different areas and say, okay, here's what's available and let's try play in this era, or like for Star Wars stuff. Okay, right, we're playing in this era. But, I mean, it kind of sounds like multiple games to me a little bit.
Ah,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, if each one is its own little distinct thing.
Right.
Well,
right.
Like, I get it, but it also, I suppose, for me, it's not a negative.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a positive, right? Like, I'm not going, oh, yeah, I love that. I love the idea of all this expansive lore. It's just like, does the game work?
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of exciting, right? For me, I guess the fictional stuff, the fluff is kind of an, for miniatures game at least, is an add-on or an additional, right?
Yeah. So this campaign, the box that's going to be done, very similar to this style.
It's a nice box.
Yeah. They do. Yeah, the quality of the components is amazing. Very heavy, glossy boxes. And so they are creating the retail version. This isn't like a Kickstarter only, but they are creating a lot of add-ons that are only going to be able be available through the Kickstarter, you know, t-shirts and patches and challenge coins and a ton of supporting things, as well as additional miniatures, mech miniatures.
Certainly not immune to that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think, and then once you have a clan that you're, or once you have a faction or clan that you're into, if they're producing stuff supporting it, it's very fun.
You know, I'm kind of a bit sour on BattleTech. I'm sure they are not related, but as a kid, when we would go visit my grandparents with their pretty decent computer, my brother would get to the computer first and spend the entire holiday playing Mech Warrior on it. When I wanted to get on the computer and play Wipeout, the original Wipeout.
Oh, so nice.
It was just like, oh, he's playing that mech game again. Come on. Are you going to get okay, fine, right?
Right.
So I think I've kind of soured on Mech Warrior and BattleTech because I have this connotation of someone hogging the computer where I want to do something else.
Yeah,
right?
Something you'd watch somebody else play.
Right? Yeah, I don't like, he'd be like, oh, watch me play this. I'm like, oh, this is boring. I don't want to sit here and watch you play this, right? This one player game, right? I want to play my one player game, Wipeout, right? I want to listen to this awesome techno soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, I did enjoy playing Armored Core, though.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the customization. It was the customization in Armored Core that was
great. There's a new Armored Core coming out. Yeah, there's another.
I cannot get into video games,
Jeremy. Coming with another setting and everything for
the number of times I've gone to like a hobby store here, gone, that is an awesome looking like 144 scale Armor Core model for $10.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if I could play Mobile Frame Zero with this. And then I got to go, no, you don't have any place to put it. Don't. And walk out of the store. It's seriously tempting though, right?
Yeah.
Especially because they're all interchangeable
too. Yeah, they have that nice frame system.
I've now talked myself into getting some. No, okay, not really. No. Chat, help me out. No.
Nice. So Mercenaries Box, 12 new miniatures, paper maps, counters, a rule book, and then a primer on the Mercenaries part of the universe, the setting the universe. And I think every box also includes a little bit of a basic summary of like how we got here.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And they're also producing Alpha Strike cards. So that was an attempt because, of course, the game rules are very, if not identical, very similar to what was written in the 80s.
Okay.
And how people wrote rules in the 80s, they liked complexity. They liked, you know, tracking heat on various parts of your mech.
Nope.
And so there's a lot of heavy, you know, much heavier detail and bookkeeping to be done in the game. And so they released a simplified version called Alpha Strike that strips out a lot of the rules and is basically, I think, just the moving and shooting.
Okay.
So it's a good entry level to the game, much more rules light, but you're still using the same, you know, mechs and maps and dice and everything. It's just a slimmer rule set. And so, yeah, anybody that like takes a look at the rules and says, oh, I can't do this, once you put the miniatures on the table and move them through the hexes. Like, okay, I do like this. Maybe it is worth learning.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, hey, okay, oh, it's a little too complicated. How would this alpha strike? Ah, now we've got you hooked, yes, right?
Yeah. We gotcha. Yeah, so they produced a box for that as well. And they also produce collections of miniatures kind of themed for different settings and sometimes themed
aren't they called
for,
like a spear or a lance or something?
Lance, yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm not sure if each box is, they have a name for what the box collections are. But yeah, I don't know if they're all workable lances, but they do.
Because if they are all workable lances, like that would be a way to do it too. Like all you got to do is buy this one right, box and you got your five there. Mechs and you've right. got a playable lance. That would be,
yeah, that's true.
Be the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think these boxes are all intended to actually be two player starter games, like in that setting. So you could split the miniatures in there.
And a map too. So you get two.
Right. Right. And the double sided as well. So that you can play different campaigns, you know, different campaign settings, different scenarios. So the other thing that Mercenaries is adding is, so more mech miniatures and then support vehicles. So basically we got tanks and things coming in this expansion.
I'm kind of curious how they would work, right? Because from developing like other games, I've wondered if a trio of like mecha, armored vehicles and infantry and all of them being effective against different things would be interesting. Like, I wonder how it plays. Like, because if like vehicles are only good at doing other vehicles and infantry is only good at taking care of infantry, kind of like you're playing like three solitaire games. I wonder if it's more of like a rock, paper, scissors.
Maybe. Yeah, because Clan Invasion, the previous campaign added the troops, added actual, like, you know, tiny space-suited troops.
I wonder, is it just like little extra things to sink points into that just get like blasted with a giant
maybe maybe the different there's different objectives or things that they're more useful for. So I don't know enough about the rule set to know what they're adding on, but yeah, so a 35-year legacy for BattleTech. It's not a young game, but
it's getting long in the tooth.
But the revival, so this box came out 2018. So it's been pretty recent that they've revived it, and they've done a great job. I mean, they're really satisfying their fans, and they're getting more and more attention as people get turned off, because this is not an expensive game to get into.
The retail price is $60 in the back right there.
Right, and you can get some pretty deep discounts on the starter box, and this you can play this immediately. I mean, you probably want to paint it, but you can play play right out of the box. So they're adding also in this campaign 50 new designs. So that brings the total of mechs that they've redesigned to like 200 or something, because I think the last campaign added another 100. So, and these are, you know, most of them are existing. They're redesigns of existing models before, but that's still pretty impressive that they've dedicated so much to it. And with this kind of success in crowdfunding, you know, if they just keep this rolling, unfortunately, once they run out of material, that's when kind of like Game of Thrones that might get a little difficult. We're like, okay,
by that now time we're gonna like a new edition.
We'll add porpoises. Oh yeah, that's true. But that's the thing, that have kept people.
If there's a game that has like the apocalypse world style space marine mammal, I will play. just a tank with a whale in it.
That's good.
With armored legs, just stomping around the battlefield. That would be cool. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, so force packs. Yeah, that's what the collection of mechs are called, force packs. So 14 new force packs are being released for the Mercenaries expansion. And this is going to be running through April 20th, so they still got a lot of time.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big one, big campaign. And fulfillment for the physical rewards will begin in June. No word on the retail release, but it'll probably soon follow that. And I don't know, the chat might know if Catalyst Labs has done a good job of getting everyone fulfilled before they do retail releases. Because that's the frustrating thing when you see things on online retailers discounted and you've sunk, you know, the full retail price.
Understandable. But I mean, if they're real upfront about going, look, this is going to fund the retail release, that's why we're doing it, then for me personally, that takes the sting out of it, right? When they aren't super explicit, they're going, okay, here's this Kickstarter thing, and it shows up in the shop before you get it. You're like, come on, bro. If they go, no, you're helping us fund retail releases.
Yeah.
You're getting all this extra stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have the ability. Then I'm kind of like, okay, fine, right? I'm willing to pay extra to get these extra things that are not available so that you get your retail versions out faster and make money.
Right. Yeah. And I think the thing that really helped them be successful right out of the gate for this most recent campaign is they announced it at Adepticon. So the kind of the wargaming convention, people are like, they're waiting for mercenaries. That's the one of the pieces that they haven't, you know, reworked yet. And they announced it. And so people probably originally jumped on it pretty hard. So Battletech Mercenaries is a thing. So there's links to it. And I also did an unboxing of both the base box and the Clan Invasion box. If you want to see the quality and what it looks like inside, I got the camera pretty close to the miniatures. Cool. And I was really pleasantly surprised with the detail on the miniatures because I don't know Catalyst Labs well. They look like a board game company, so it's like the detail is
going to be
okay? The
gun's going to be kind of like droopy. Yeah, right. They're going to be like mold lines. Thing glued on incorrectly? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're pre-assembled and just need primed and painted. And but the detail is really nice. And when you compare, so there's a ton of content for Battletech on YouTube and online. And so a lot of people do side-by-sides of the original metal and the updated. And sometimes it's a pretty big jump. Like they did... design-wise, change a lot of the look and kind of the pose and everything. But these mechs have a much more dynamic pose. That they have like a weight and a position what were you stuck with the kind of metal casting in the 80s. But so check that out. There are links to everything in the description. So I suffered for this podcast this week.
I appreciate it.
And watched the D&D Direct. So kind of aping the Nintendo Direct, I think.
Okay.
So that, you know, they want to make these great announcements, and I don't want to talk about it because it was terrible.
Right.
So the things that they ran through are things like D&D
for mine. I appreciate you not subjecting our viewers to the same pain you inflicted upon yourself.
It's brutal. There was a musical number though. That's good. Okay. But you know, like D&D in Minecraft, and they're going to release like a monster compendium for Minecraft. And people have been playing D&D in Minecraft since Minecraft was invented, like since there were Minecraft servers.
But has it been monetized?
That's right. You don't. So this is one of those things that was probably pissing Hasbro off. We're not making money. People are basically playing a fantasy RPG in Minecraft and we're not making money. Well, here is the official version. So next year, celebrating the 50th, we're getting all that wonderful stuff. But an interesting detail that was added was they spoke, of course, to Joe Manganiello. I'm getting better at that. And so he's responsible for working on the documentary for the 50th anniversary and having Stephen Colbert show his original box set cover, whatever, just like celebrities talking about how much they love D&D, whatever that's going to be. Hopefully there'll be some actual history in there. They are using some pretty good consultants, so maybe we'll get some actual information. Okay. But something that slipped, and so they didn't kidnap his puppy or they don't have his family hostage to get him to do this documentary. I think what they promised him is fulfillment of his childhood dream.
Which is?
So Dragonlance was the setting that he loved and like inspired him to be an actor, basically. So he said, this game and this setting inspired me to, to want to act.
Hey,
so
no shame. Inspiration from wherever it comes from.
Yes.
Okay.
And so his dream will be fulfilled. So I think the production company that he put together with his brother that's producing this documentary is then going to move on to a live action Dragonlance. And he will be one of the actors. And that's something he's always wanted to do. So... yeah, that was the only nice thing to come out of that whole D&D Direct was the fact that, that's good. And so somebody with some passion, like we're talking about Henry Cavill doing some 40K.
That's going to get watered the fuck down.
Yeah. So Joe doing
also,
some
Dragonlance. Also, from all reports. Mm-hmm.
It's nothing.
Also Henry Cavill kind of seems like an asshole.
Come on! You're falling for that. You're falling for that corporate. Like, okay, everybody, what stories do you got? Because he's making Netflix look bad.
Yep,
so every makeup artist say
maybe.
How much they.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I hope either. I'm wrong. I don't know.
Anyway. I don't know either. But so that was nice. That was an interesting thing. So yeah, he kind of revealed I think it was a podcast thing that he was doing. So he's basically said, I work for D&D, so actually I'm shooting a documentary right now, and I'm developing a TV show for them. And so, yeah, Dragonlance, it may be. And there's also another TV show that we're kind of hearing was greenlighted. So Rossin Marshall Thurber is writing and directing something with Paramount Pictures and E1 that's also – so we don't know if that's the same thing or these are going to be separate projects or whatever. But, yeah, Dragonlance, Joe Manganiello is going to be in Dragonlance, and – he'll be happy, hopefully.
it'll come to light that Watsi and Hasbro actually have kidnapped his puppy. Yeah, right. He's saying all of this stuff about like being inspired by Dragonlance because that's what he needs to say. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
So Hasbro's Dungeons and Dragons continues to be. Yeah. Anyhow, so yes, and Honor Among Thieves is out. It's making its way through the theaters.
No.
Anyhow, Free League.
Okay, so interesting.
Palate cleanser, right. Palate cleanser. Yeah, Free right. League has now officially
so, a nice sorbet out of that D&D whatever.
So yeah. we got some drafts of this a few weeks ago, but now Free League has officially released the PDFs of their two open game licenses. So the first is the SRD and the what they're calling the free tabletop license for the Year Zero engine.
Right. Okay.
So this is all the mechanics that they've developed so far for Year Zero engine and your ability to do whatever you want with it, right. And it's a great system. I mean, playing it in the different iterations mm-hmm. from the...
Because you played Mutant Year Zero a little bit, too.
Yes, So I played a lot of versions of this, and it's satisfying. It works really well. It is less... I don't know. There's something about it that it takes away the frustrating swing of D20 games, where you're just like...
By not using a D20?
Yeah, right. So there's things to mitigate randomness and stuff that really make it satisfying.
Well... Okay, not to get too deep into the mechanics, but like generally I find dice pool systems are more even mm-hmm. than a single D20, right? And it's we're arguing vanilla and chocolate here, right? Some people like the swingy nature of D20 because when you roll that natural 20, you're like,
right?
Like how many stories are like, and then we nat 20'd the boss. I'm like, cool, right? Other people like the reliability of, okay, well, I'm rolling this many dice. I ought to get this many successes, mm-hmm. right? Or kind of like being able to... You know, just, oh, well, this penalty. Anyway, different people like different things. I generally prefer the dice pool because I like my characters. I like to be able to know kind of realistically what my character is capable of. And yeah, I like the Year Zero engine as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And the other thing that they're releasing is a license to let you produce what they're calling modules, basically mm-hmm. adventures for their Dragonbane, which is the Demons and Dragons.
Which is D20 based?
It's a lot of dice based. Yeah, it's got some interesting mechanics. I'm totally blanking now on what they did differently. It has a I think it's D20, but you do have the push mechanic as well.
Okay.
And there's other things that you use too. Yeah, it's a really interesting. Anybody that hasn't played that Quick Start sample rules and everything, take a look at that because the magic is simplified, combat works really well, and it's kind of a greatest hits of like basic roleplay, 5e, and Year Zero.
Not selling it with the 5e, but okay. Like you've shared it with me. I've been too busy to go check it out. I'm going to go look at it now.
Right. Yeah. So advantage and disadvantage exist. So that's, I think that's the kind of carryover from 5e. But
hey, man, that don't lay credit where credit is not due.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's a really nice system and I hope it does well. I hope, you know, players really enjoy, really see the kind of advantages of this kind of system, and really support this this game because it's fun. Just the little adventure that we had was really, really fun to play.
Cool.
Yeah, and it kind of if there's things you don't like about like survival mechanics and things from Forbidden Lands, that's not there with this. And so yeah, it's very
so this skews more heroic.
I guess so. But yeah, more old school. Yeah, I guess it would be more heroic because you're you're not kind of scrabbling
maybe
along.
Not heroic, maybe heroic's the wrong term. Maybe cinematic because for Forbidden Lands, I played a little bit of that. And like you are tracking a lot of stuff. So it is kind of more ground level kind of tracking resources kind of stuff. When maybe the Demons and Dragons is more cinematic where you're like, we're not tracking arrows and rations and stuff. We're worrying about defeating the big bad.
Right. Yeah. It's more based on the adventure is the focus. Whereas with Forbidden Lands, you can actually have most of your adventure in the screw ups of your travel, and just like hex crawling can really become the whole, campaign. You're like, God, we suck at this. And
we got mishaps, lice.
Mishaps do happen. All right. And the last thing I wanted to mention, because we talked about this, previously, the previous version of this game is a new expansion for the Terminator RPG is coming out, and this is covering Terminator 2. So the name is a little bit clumsy because they have to do Terminator RPG T2 and then Judgment Day. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is including the reprogrammed T-800s mm-hmm. and the liquid metal Terminators.
So the T-1000s?
Yeah, the T-1000s, right. So they're it's a 200-page source book written by Richard August and there will be a that'll adapt the plot of Terminator 2, the film, and then have playable set of mission scenarios. They're also going to do pre-gens of all of your recognizable characters. So if you've always wanted to play Miles Dyson, now is your chance. So Kyle Reese, Miles Dyson, and Sarah Connor are all going to be pre-gen characters that can be played in this. And so this is Nightfall Games' D20-based S5S system, which means you roll 5 skill dice and a success die as part of a die pool with a D20. Yeah, so this it's interesting. It's an interesting kind of modification of that. And I think the dice are D10s. Yeah, the other dice. Yeah.
And what was it? 5D...
S5S system. S5S. Yes.
Success, 5 skill,
I guess. Yeah, maybe. S5S? Yes, yeah, skill and success. Yes, yes. Yeah, 5. Yeah, because you roll. Yeah, 5 skill and 1 success. Success.
Yeah, yeah, so right. S success, 5S, 5
we
skill.
We cracked the code. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. So the rules will include combat, investigation, vehicle handling, and even time travel. So okay, yeah, that'll be an interesting thing. And also a mechanic to succeed big in particular skills. So that'll give you your cinematic moments there. And just what we were talking about, it hitting a natural 20. So there are a quick start set of rules available as pay what you want download, probably on DriveThru. I have to find that link. And the release for this book will be November. It's currently on Kickstarter, looking to collect 10,000 British pounds in for its goal in crowdfunding. And they did a nice job with the previous version of it. I mean, maybe the system isn't to everyone's taste, but it's fun for them to flesh out things in that setting, right? Because Dark Horse Comics and stuff did a lot more of that, so that kind of like, you know, just the human resistance fighting machines in the far future kind of thing, you can play that, you can actually just play scenarios of that
would be cool.
Which is a nice, it was a fun setting, and you can, it can be removed enough from the films that it can be your world. You don't have to, you know.
So in other words, there's not like locations you must play
right. It's very much there's a lot of interesting scenarios, but you could play the Uncle Bob version of the T-800, the reprogrammed, you know, to protect John Connor.
Right.
Anyhow. Yeah, so Nightfall Games also does, Slay Industries. I think they're most famous for that. So yeah, it's a fun company and a fun setting. So if you enjoy that IP, we keep talking about licensed IP games.
Yeah, we do.
But it's a decent version. All right. So that will be... Oh, there we go. Sorry, I glanced at the chat.
We're multitasking. Yes. Sorry, I'm not.
That is it for this week. So cool. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, until that site goes down in flames, right, Evan?
Oh, yeah. Is that happening? Is that pending?
I don't know. I mean, like, we're just kind of seeing, like, how long can Huskmelon mess stuff up, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter until it collapses. That's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, and... I guess Instagram as well. Same handle. Yeah.
Right. Excellent.
How about you?
I'm still doing the Abuse Cartoons. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. So drawing 2 of the digital cartoons every week. You can find
two
that
every week.
Every week. Yes, 2 every week. It used to be 7 every week, but we cut it down to 2.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was a daily cartoon on its launch. And so doing it with the live streaming, doing a Patreon was an attempt to get back to daily, but it's just not going to happen. Yeah. There's just not enough.
Hey, it's important to recognize your limits.
Yes.
And set realistic
goals. I found
goals.
My level. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. So gocomics.com/domesticabuse if you want to read the whole series, and then Abuse Cartoons on Patreon. And if you like what we're doing here, please visit upturnedtable.com. So that's the website for everything that we're doing, battle reports and reviews and unboxings and all kinds of stuff. There's even downloadable reference sheets and character sheets and all kinds of stuff. And if you'd like to support what we're doing specifically, become a weakling.
The strongest of all supporters anywhere.
Yes, at patreon.com/upturntable. And let us know what you'd like to see more on the cast. And I'm sure Miguel is right now writing us more Battletech. But, and the other interesting detail about this is not only do they give you the plastic mechs, they give you color stand-ups.
I saw that.
It basically doubles the number of units you can run from the box. And if there's anything that's where you're running against AI or whatever, there you are.
No, or if you just don't want to play with miniatures for some reason.
Yeah, and you want stand-ups. You want them painted. They work, you know, you want them in color and you don't want to play with gray plastic. Yeah, right out of the box, you can have color miniatures that are on your little hex map. So I thought I'd mention that. I was just looking at that the whole time. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back. Oh, yeah, we'll be back again next week.
Next week. Yeah.
All right. See you then.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.